What does it look like when ordinary kindness becomes a lifeline? In the grocery aisle, or at work, or with a neighbor who doesn't really know how to receive it? And what happens when one person decides to show up with just a little more gentleness than the world expects? Hi, I'm Shannon Steves, and this is Neighborly. Each conversation around this table reminds us that care doesn't have to be perfect to be powerful. It just has to be real. And today you're going to meet someone who lives that out in the most natural, radiant way. Lori has this gift of making people feel seen. Whether she's praying with someone on the phone at work, offering a hug that feels like it came right from Jesus, or mowing the strip of grass outside an elderly neighbor's home just because it needed to be done, she carries hope into the everyday moments that most of us rush past.
Every one of us has a story about someone who showed up when it mattered most. I'm Johan, and this is Neighborly, a podcast about the ordinary ways people show extraordinary care. Every other week, Shannon Steves sits down with someone who's lived that out. Real stories of faith, kindness, and community in action. So grab your coffee and let's join Shannon at the table.
Lori, thank you so much for being here. I have just been looking forward to this conversation all week, honestly. I'm really grateful to call you a friend. You are someone that just feels like family, and I don't think I'm the only one who would say that. To let our listeners know, Lori and I first met at our church, and ever since then, you've just been such a blessing to me. You have a way of making people feel seen and cared for, and I'm just excited today to talk about that and for our listeners, hopefully, to be inspired to live that out in their own lives. So thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for asking me.
Well, we always get started with the same question whenever I interview someone. Growing up or just throughout life, who has been a neighbor that you will never forget?
I've lived in many, many different places, and I come from a rather diverse background, lots of struggles and stuff. So I had a lot of neighbors, moved around a lot. The neighbor that most stands out in my mind, she was a old Ukrainian lady, and she was very abrupt, let's say. And I believe that if everybody was just this much nicer in their life towards other people, what a better world it would be. Like, don't get angry at the people, you know, that are maybe behind you bumping you with the cart in Costco or something. But if just you can just take a breath, relax, and move on. She was a very old and very big woman, and she wouldn't mow her lawn. And I love mowing lawns. And so I used to start mowing by the sidewalk and around her outside of her yard. I never went inside, but I'd mow her outside. And she'd come out and she'd just yell at me, "What are you doing?" I would say, I'm just helping you, Mary. I'm just helping you. And she'd be so grumpy and she'd go back in, slam the door. And it took me about 3 mows. And she'd come out and she'd go, "You want some strawberries?" Because wow. She had this massive garden in the back. And it went on like that we lived by her for about 2-3 summers. And she's passed now. But she came out at the end of that one summer and she goes, "I don't know why you do this for me." And I said, "Because you need it. You need some help and I'm willing to help you." And she goes, "You didn't need to." I says, "No, I didn't, but I wanted to." And she goes, "Well, I thank you." And she shoved some strawberries and some pierogies because she used to make these amazing, real Ukrainian pierogies. And she shoved them into my hand and walk away. You know, never saw her outside. She did all her gardening in the evening. But it just impacted me because a lot of times people don't know how to accept.
Yeah.
Without feeling that they have to repay.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel that if everybody just did this much more willingly, it would change the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you see a need and if you have the ability to fill that need, you see somebody needing something, it's like in Matthew where, you know,
saw I was naked and you gave me clothes. You saw I was hungry. You fed me. That's a need. Somebody that can't do something that needs it and you can do it, but don't, well, shame on you.
Like, where does this come from for you? You know, that heart to just care. You said, you know, you talked about Matthew. Is there more to that for you of like, why?
I come from a childhood where we didn't have timeouts or soft landings, shall I say. It was very harsh and very, it was disturbing by most people's standards. And I've never, ever remembered a time when I didn't have that, I need to help. I don't know. God had his hand on me. He created me for a reason. I don't always know the reason, but I know there's a reason. And I really believe that he just instilled that. I believe it's a gift. I believe that God has given me a gift to love people. And it doesn't matter who you are. Everybody needs a little bit extra loving.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And you do it so, so naturally, just connecting with people. I get to see it every Sunday. And I believe that also your work experience over life has kind of given you a front row seat to connecting with people. Can you share a little bit about that? I don't know totally your whole story when it comes to that, but I've heard pieces.
I've been in the customer service all my life. And I do believe that's my strong point because I listen. People just want to be heard. And one time my boss said, he says, you're like the human Band-Aid. He said, if ever I have a problem with a customer, I just transfer him to you and you just make it okay. And I went, that's because I listen. And yeah. I actually listen. Some people you listen to react or to reply. You form that reply before you've actually heard the whole story. And I believe that God has given that to me, that the Holy Spirit will touch people. And the greatest thing, it was 2 years ago, I worked with this young fellow. His name was Josh. He was one of our technicians. And whenever we would have a meeting with everybody in there, I would always pray, if you don't acknowledge me in public, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. That whole, it's a lot of Bible learning. I'm going to jump back now a little bit.
Sure.
My mom told me my very first outing after I got out of the hospital, she brought me to Sunday school. Wow. So I am steeped in religion. Hmm. And that religion became a relationship a number of years ago. But I've always been taught it from the earliest day. So a lot of the Bible verses that I grew up learning or the Bible stories that I grew up learning, I've always stuck with. No matter when I've strayed from God, I have not always made him happy. I'm pretty sure about that. But he's forgiven me and he's a great God. Anyways, now bringing back to Josh. And so I prayed before we ate and I don't like saying bad words. And when he left the end of his term, he wrote me a long note and he said, Lori, he thanked me for being such a strong witness. And even just by doing the little things like praying before I ate, even when nobody else prayed, and he just said how much I had helped him when he was going through a rough patch. He knew that whenever he would come in, he could talk to me.
Wow.
And I would encourage him because he was just a young Christian. He was going to Bible school. That's why he was leaving at the end of his term. He was starting his schooling. And I didn't even realize it. Mm-hmm. I did not realize that people were watching. And people are always watching. So it doesn't matter. I really believe it has to be sincere, that the things that you do and the things that you say, they'll make a difference. It's just that you need to be willing to be used. And so I still pray for that boy. And I believe God's going to do great things through him. He's going to have an awesome testimony. And just because of the things that he would tell me, you know. So I don't know. I think all my life I've just, how does my grand says? He said, Amy, he says, you hugged from the heart. Mm. And I do.
when I wrap my arms around you, I just want you to feel Jesus.
Wow.
I had surgery earlier this year, and when they roll you into the surgery room, and my doctor came and he says, "So Lori, how are you doing?" And I said, "Listen, I got one thing to say to you." And he goes, "What's that?" And I said, "When you open me up, take a peek and see if you can see Jesus in there." And he burst out laughing. And he said, "What?" And I said, "I want to be so full of Jesus that whenever you open me up, you see Jesus in there." And he started laughing. And the nurse looked at me and tears started coming down. She said, "What an awesome thought."
Hmm.
And so, you know, but when I hug you and when I tell you, and Shannon, and you know, you are very special to me.
Aww.
When I hug you, I just love you.
Mm. Yeah. People, I think, underestimate those little things. You know, like you and I, we don't get to spend day-to-day life together, but every time you hug me, you're right. I feel that warmth and that care. And, you know, you don't even have to say a lot to feel that. When you say that you're praying for me, I know that you are. And that means so much. And I think about that colleague of yours, Josh, that he knew you were a safe place. And that whenever you'd come together as staff and you'd pray, that was setting really, I think, either a tone or a culture that other people noticed, that that's the kind of person you are and that you're always going to be a safe place for other people. That's so beautiful. You know, you mentioned customer service. And so I think about, you probably got a little bit of a window into people's lives in different ways. Are there any stories that come to mind of, I guess, maybe people that you just remember getting to chat with and interact with?
Lots. Being in customer service and being on the phone all the time. There were some people that would call me, and when I first got to know them over the phone, it was just general, because, you know, "Hi, I'm calling about this and just wondering if you'd be interested in doing that." And they'd say, "You know what, I'm having a really bad time now and I don't think I can." And I go, "Well, what's going on?" And it would lead into it. And I would have so many people calling me sometimes just to say, "Lori, could you pray for me?"
Wow.
And right there on the phone, I would pray for them. And I was so touched, because there were people that would call just to talk, just to say, "Hi, Lori, I'm having a really bad day. And I know that our calls were recorded, and I don't know what head office thought about
it." I was just going to ask, weren't they recorded?
Yeah.
You're so bold. I love it.
Yep. And they would call me and they'd say, "Lori, I'm having a bad day. I had to talk to somebody happy." And I said, "Awesome." I said, "So who are you calling?" And she said, "You." "Oh, me." And then we'd start laughing and we'd talk. And just some of the things that I could pray for, like there was a couple of customers that were going through cancer, and we'd pray, and I'd call and follow up with them, send them emails. And the one customer, her husband was going through a really hard time, and she said, "Lori, I don't know how you do it, but every time you do, you call me at the right moment." And I said, "I really honestly believe that that's God." Wow. "I really do." I said, "I believe that that is God telling you you're not forgotten." Because sometimes walking through cancer or walking through, people say, "Oh, I know what you're feeling." And unless they've actually walked the walk, they don't know.
Yeah.
And so they really just need somebody to say, "Hey, I'm praying for you. I don't know how you're feeling today, but I just want you to know that I'm asking God for your strength today. I'm asking him to protect you, give you by the Holy Spirit, and by his grace, just give you that extra little heart hug and know you're not forgotten." And so I had my whole front of my desk, I had the little sticky notes I'd have there, just their first name, because I knew all of their names and accounts numbers and phone numbers, right? And whenever I would feel drawn, I'll have a confession, I have a little book that I carry with me of the people that I pray for, and their names are in there. And whenever I feel, that's like my prayer board, but it's my prayer book, I guess. And I just, whenever God tells me, you know, brings me to a specific name, I'll be honest, you're in my book.
Oh, I feel so blessed. Wow, I made it in the book. What an honor. That's so humbling. Wow. You said something earlier, you know, because you're talking about all these different conversations that you've had with people and customer service. You know, you're working in a business, right? And so it's not like, you know, you're maybe in a natural spot to just have these more deep conversations, but it sounded like it started with a question. You would ask people, well, what's going on? And I think that's really important because, I mean, personally, sometimes I might be intimidated of, you know, wanting to just care about someone, but maybe not knowing where to start. And I think that question is the place to start. It's so simple.
What's going on? In my other favorite line is, what can I do to help? How can I help?
Yeah.
Or you can't. There must be something. What can I do? How can I help? And it's usually just, I'll pray.
Wow.
That's all.
How have you learned to, you know, because it's such a, maybe a delicate thing sometimes of not wanting to pry or press, you know, too much into someone's life, but wanting to really show them that you mean it when you're asking, how can I help? How have you learned to, I guess, discern when to really kind of dive deeper with a person and when to maybe hold back?
Quite literally, when I ask Jesus into my heart, when my heart starts going boom, 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 I know it's time to move. I feel like that's the Holy Spirit saying, now, go. And sometimes it's just, I don't know, I can hear something in their voice and it gets me. It just gets my heart right there and it just, my heart just hurts for them. There have been times, and I'm going to be brutally honest here, when I have felt the Holy Spirit push a little bit and I don't feel like I'm ready, or I don't feel like I should, or I don't feel like I've been, you know, like didn't read my Bible today. Oh, I didn't. Mm. And it's not what I didn't do. It's what Jesus did.
Wow.
And so I'll have to answer for those parts probably. But I try. I really try. And I feel like the older I get, the freer I become, because there is a truth in freedom and getting older, because you realize that you've got way more yustas than gunnas.
Hmm.
I used to do that, but I'm gonna do this.
Yeah.
You know? So now is the time to just go, do, be used.
Yeah. That's so good. I think we can get really caught up in what holds us back, those feelings or lies really of not being enough, or, you know, I'm too new of a Christian, or I don't know, you know, what to say. And so we, you know, stay back. But I think people actually need what we have, because like you said, I think before we started recording, you talked about hope, that actually we carry hope. I just, you know, in sharing these stories, I really want people to understand that they have something to give that other people need.
All that I hope is that people see Jesus in me.
Hmm.
I hope that Jesus is so apparent, and I don't want to get emotional, but I am, that they actually, they don't see this, they don't see me, but they see what Jesus wants them to see, and what Jesus is and what he means to me.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to have lots of mistakes and lots of regrets and lots of, oh, I wished I would have done that differently.
Mm-hmm.
But every time we realize that, I really believe that we have hope that we can do it better.
Mm-hmm.
We have hope. Like,
yeah.
As long as I have breath in me, I have hope. And there's a chance for Jesus to fix what's broken in me and use it to help somebody else. That's my hope, that he will shine through me.
Yeah. And how kind of God that he wants to use us, right? He doesn't have to. I think I talked about this on our last episode with someone, that he invites us into the kingdom building work in moments like this. you know, that hope that we have in him. He's like, okay, now go do something with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, just kind of going back, one last question about work and that experience. What have those years, or what have these years teached you about what people need when they're having a hard moment or a heavy day?
I think everybody is a little bit self-conscious and a little bit unsure and a little bit alone. And I think it doesn't matter who you are, how popular, how unpopular. I think they just need to feel that somebody cares about them enough to say something. And whether it's a kind word, whether it's a smile, whether it's a hug, whether it's a phone call, you can change the world with a smile. You could change everything with just that much more kindness, just a little bit more. You know, if we all just lost the focus on our day-to-day struggles and challenges and just looked outside of our immediate trouble. It doesn't even have to be trouble, I guess, but just look past that and saw somebody else. And if you see somebody that needs something, if you just reached out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You talked a lot about before this listening and practically, just to kind of, I think, help people take this and really live it out. You talked about listening to people, you know, listening to understand, not just to respond. Can you just give some practical tips when it comes to listening to people? What has that looked like for you?
Focus. Focus on actually what they're saying.
Yeah.
Focus on looking at them. How important do you feel when somebody looks at you and looks at your eyes and looks at you? They're not texting or, what? Oh, yeah. You know,
yeah.
And I know that when I was in customer service, face-to-face people, you can do that. On the phone, it's just listening. It can be any way. Just be quiet and listen. Hear what they're saying and don't listen to answer, because God will give you the answer. God will give you the answer all the time. And sometimes it's just a quietness that they just need to vent. And you don't need to say anything. You don't have to have words of wisdom every time you listen.
Yeah.
You just have to listen. And then if you're going to pray for them, pray for them. If you tell them you're going to pray, pray.
Yeah.
And I took that to heart, because there was a lot of times people would call me and I'm sitting in the front of the office and there's people around me. I'm sitting like 20 feet away from the manager and I just say, well, can I pray for you? And they'd say, yeah, sure. Nice. And I'd start praying and they go, oh, you meant now. Yeah. I meant now, because it doesn't have to be this long, flowery, beautiful prayer. It just needs to, God, you know, this person's hurting, you know, this person's going through this struggle. God, I just pray that you would be with them. Just help them, show them. Your beautiful face.
Yeah.
Show them your love. And I just want to be that tool God can use to show somebody love. Wow. Help if I can.
I could talk to you forever, I think. But before we finish, is there anything that you want to share or feel led to share that I haven't asked yet?
I want to encourage people, everybody that listens, if you can just, the next time somebody bumps you on the cart, you know, on the back of the legs with the cart, or cuts you off, or doesn't use their blinkers when they're turning, instead of saying, you, just say, Lord, whatever that person's going through that is distracted, I just pray that you would give them clarity and that you would help them. Like, how much would that change?
Yeah.
Right?
That's big.
Okay. You know, like, okay, you want to cut in front of me? Well, you must be in a real hurry. Like I say, what if their mother's in the hospital and they have to get there really fast? Like, I would drive fast too.
Yeah.
You know, like if it was my kid and they needed something, I would be in a hurry too. So you don't know what that other person is going through. You don't know what their life, what they're facing. They may have had devastating news. They may have lost their job. There's so many things that
the world is full of pain, full of it.
Yeah.
And if we can, we don't have to add to it. If we can just give them a little bit of Jesus love, that's what I try to live by. I just want to be the hand that God can use to hold somebody up. And whether it's in prayer or a hug, or if I bring you some sourdough or whatever, if there's something that I can do to help, I want to be that person that God can use.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Lori. This has been so good. You are such a blessing, and there's so much from this conversation that honestly has convicted and challenged me. And I think what you said at the end there, that there's so much pain in the world, we don't have to add to it. That's so good.
The stories we share here remind us that care doesn't have to be perfect to be powerful. It just has to be present. Neighborly is an initiative of Care Impact, a Canadian charity equipping churches, agencies, and communities with tech and training to care better together. Visit careimpact.ca. Or to find out more about the podcast, sponsorships, being a guest, or just dropping us a line, visit neighborlypodcast.ca. We'd love to hear from you. Check the show notes for the link. Or hop on our Care Impact podcast group on Facebook to join our podcast community. I'm Johan. Thanks for listening, and keep being the kind of neighbor someone will never forget, in a good way. Turning over tables, tearing down walls, building up the bridges between the souls. Love is turning over tables, breaking off chains when I see